Yeah, roll contenders in the building, let's go. Trey Crane, we open and drank, we about to show. We the game changers, the ones you can't ignore. Coming through the speakers, leave the crowd wanting more. Roll contenders in the house, rocking the spot. We got the rhythm, we got the flow, giving it all. We got Trey Crane, we open and drank.
Oh, am I doing the intro? Okay. Welcome back, everybody, to the Roll Contenders podcast. We have Jay Crane here, or Hawaiian 87. I don't know what's going on. We have Drake the Duelist. We have Pika Girl, Rod CCG. And we also have a very, very special guest. He is a multi-award winning lifter, wrestler, athlete, current CEO, co-founder of Alpha Clash, Ridge Kylie. Did I say your last name right?
Kylie, that's right. Yeah. Come on, everyone.
Hey, how's it going, Ridge?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yes. Yeah, same. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, so again, we're excited to have you on. I would say everyone that's listened to the podcast, watched the podcast, we all can say, you know, say that we love this game. And I said, what better time to kind of bring you on here, pick your brain a little bit, ask you some questions, nothing too crazy, just to kind of break down who you are as a creator of this game. So we do have a couple of questions. I know we have you for a little bit of time. So we're going to jump right into it so that way you can go ahead and get to what you have to do, and then we'll kind of go from there. How's that sound?
It sounds great. I'm ready, I think.
First off, I will say I love your office. I've always thought that. I always see every time you do either an interview or something, your office, and I love it.
Oh, appreciate it. Yeah. My wife and parents and everyone, they had this eye for it, and we built it up. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was trying to see in the background there if there was a Torque statue anywhere. Trying to see.
Not yet. But it's coming.
Yeah. But yeah, so let's start, like Ryo said, let's get to it. So first question that we had was, what was the first TCG that you played?
The first one that I played officially was Magic the Gathering. I remember trying to play Magic, tried to play Pokemon back in like third and fourth grade, and not really knowing what was going on. I'm from small town Iowa, and I don't think anyone knew how to play Pokemon there. So yeah, was super into collecting it, as most people at that time. But Magic was the game that we played, and we played for many years. We started around just before like Judgment, Odyssey, Onslaught. I'm trying to think of the exact set that we started on, but we played quite a bit through Mirrodin, Darksteel, Fifth Dawn, and a little bit into the first Kamigawa.
Ooh, that was a good set. That was a good set.
Yeah, it was like when Bushido had come out and Ninjutsu. Yeah, that kind of stuff. So
one of my favorite mechanics.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. We played that for a long time, and a lot of great memories. It was just and no one knew it. Like, we played and we gathered. We called ourselves like spellcasters. We'd gather on, you know, the weekends, and we would play, and no one really knew that any of us were into it, but we just had our group, and it was super fun.
And Magic back then, that was the cowboy era of Magic, like no sleeves. I started the same as you. So I started with Pokemon, but not knowing how to play, just kind of flipping cards over and pretending. And then I went to Magic, and yeah, Magic's, it was wild. Those days were really crazy. I started in 8th edition, and I played about to the same thing as you, Kamigawa, stopped playing, switched over to Yu-Gi-Oh, and then went back to Magic, and now Alpha Clash. So
yeah, that's awesome.
So am I the only person that knew how to play Pokemon?
Yes.
I still don't know how to play real Pokemon. I have no clue.
Okay. So then, Ridge, multiple times in some of the interviews that you did had, you did bring up that Dragon Ball Super is actually what pulled you back into playing TCGs. So my question is, what was it about Dragon Ball Super that attracted you and sparked that love back up?
Yeah, what's funny is I wasn't really looking for a trading card game. I was living in Vegas at the time and honestly didn't even have any old cards, like nothing. We had sold all of our Magic, sold Pokemon, like it was gone. And a buddy of mine who's Efren, who is one of the co-owners of the company and works for us and all that. At the time, we were over at my father-in-law's, and he goes, "Hey, man, did you see that Dragon Ball is coming out with a card game?" And I was like, "No, because me and him, we love Dragon Ball." So he showed me, and I was like, "It's Magic, but Dragon Ball," and that's what got me back into it. So I was just super excited. Bought the starter deck. Went to an LGS because I had like looked and tried to figure out, and I was calling around town in Vegas. And there was a couple stores that carried it. So I went in, and ironically, there was people playing. And then they gave me like a bunch of like bulk, which I thought was like, who would give cards? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And that pretty much like kicked everything off. From there, I really loved how it played. I played through probably set 9, roughly, like 2 through 9. I just missed when the first one came out, or first set, and then kind of hopped in around the second. But loved sets, 3 through 4, 5. It's pretty great. So
yeah, because that was because I got into it when Tournament of Power had just came out, and that's when Victory Strike Goku was huge. And so the first deck I built was Veggies, and then I went to Ape Veggies, and then I went to U7, and then Xeno cards. And that's kind of when I stopped playing, when Broly just kept being around. And then when they kept banning 1-2 swap, I said, well, every deck I play gets banned in some way. So I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to bow out.
Yeah, you named a lot of really great decks that lasted for a while. You know, there was like Mecha Frieza Apes. That was, you know, pretty crazy. And, Veggies. I loved swap. And then I became a huge baby player. Like, I love Vegeta baby.
Vegeta, yes.
Yeah.
Just fell in love with that. You know, Cell and Androids, kind of pulled me in. And then they they limited the 3-drop Cell, which kind of ruined the Cell chain. And
yeah, it made the deck almost unplayable.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you named a lot of good stuff. And yeah, just had so much fun playing. And honestly, I kind of became a deck builder at that time.
Okay.
Where, because of my job, I worked until 7:30 most nights. And so I couldn't get it to any locals on time. I mean, a tournament would be almost over by the time I could get anywhere. And so what would happen is I would just deck build at home, and I'd go to one event like once every 3 months. And people would always be like, who is this guy that just keeps coming in like once in a blue moon? And just like, I'm like, oh, this is going to work. I just know it. And yeah, I would just show up, and people would not be very happy about the newbie that was there. But it is a great game. I don't know much about it anymore, but that game really sparked the interest, because when the pandemic hit, I was still playing it. And then the scene died in Vegas, and the Digimon came around.
Yep, Digimon. I remember when that came around.
Yeah. I mean, it was a huge, you could go to locals and it'd be like 30 or 40 people, and it'd be crazy. And then Digimon came along and it was gone. And then a year into the pandemic is when I kind of had my idea for Alpha Clash as a franchise, as a whole. So it definitely wasn't something that I had, thought of right away or had this inspiration. Is really odd how it kind of hit me, because I was never really like a game designer or, I was someone that enjoyed games. Like, people created these awesome card games, these awesome video games. And, I was always someone that just really enjoyed that kind of stuff, but never had a knack for creating or even just thinking about that kind of stuff. And when the whole idea hit me, I could just see the card game. I mean, it didn't take very long to make, because I knew exactly, based on this, idea that I had for the story, to formulate the card game. And then obviously it took us about a year to get it ready. Mechanically it was pretty sound, but trying to figure out all the card text and how we want the direction of the game to go over many years, I mean, that took some pretty elaborate planning.
Wait, and that's actually funny, because our next question was going to come from Drake, which was, where did you get the idea?
Okay, so yeah, let's we can dive into that, because it's interesting. My buddy, who I wrestled with in college, he got me into World of Warcraft because I was always like, "No, I'm not, you know, going to play any of those games because I know they can be pretty addictive and all that." But as a college athlete, like when you're not training and you're done with your schoolwork, like you just kind of want to hang out and not expend energy. Well, I loved competing and, you know, I loved video games in general. So he talked me into getting a gaming computer and, you know, all that. So we were Halo partners. We were World of Warcraft. And so during the pandemic, he hit me up and he's like, "Hey, you got to play this game called Spellbreak with me." And I was like, "I don't have time," because I was at home watching my son full time. Was at the time like 6 months. No, he's probably about a year old at the time, roughly. And I was like, "I just don't have time." But when he takes a nap, I'll download it. I'll play with you one day. So I play it and I just think, "Oh man, this would be incredible to do with superheroes. Like take away the spells and the wizards and insert this." Cause like in the game, they could already fly. They could like do a super dash. They could throw fire, and you're like, I mean, okay, so this guy's Human Torch, like this guy's, you know, whatever, this guy's Iceman, this is Human Torch, this guy's kind of like an earthbender, this is all that. And I'm not kidding, within like 10 minutes it was like my head had this whirlwind of ideas and I was like, what's going on? And I wrote it all down.
Okay.
And I wrote down everything that kind of came to mind, and from there I called up AJ, the writer. I said, "Hey, I've got this incredible idea. You need to hear me out." And I called up Efren too, because he is an artist and graphic designer and all that. And I said, "Just help me like sketch it out, start working on these early concepts." And so we would get together when we could on calls, or, you know, if they could, you know, meet up in Vegas, which Al and I were both in Vegas, Efren wasn't. And then we just started to work on it. And then it snowballed, you know, from there. And now we're here.
That's awesome. So you brought up that you guys kind of, you know, you started those ideas and you thought up of characters with Efren. So who was the first character that you guys came up with?
Magnate was the first character.
Wow.
That's not who I was expecting.
That was not who I was expecting.
Yeah.
It kind of was who I was expecting.
Yeah. He was the one that just came to mind, and thankfully Al came in and was like, "Hey, this is how I think we should story tell." Because at first it was going to be a story all about Magnate. You know, that was my initial kind of thing, but it quickly, as we started to develop it, it was like, this is not even remotely a Magnate story. This is a story about several people that has events happening to them and their response to it. And so, you know, we even had a character named Rex that was with Moxie. Well, we didn't make Rex. We turned, Rex became a hybrid of Colonel Edwards and Weber, right?
Okay.
So it kind of split into two people.
Okay.
And just stuff like that, that, you know, as we're creating characters. And I remember we had another one called like Dark Void, who then turned out to be Shadowlight.
That's how it sounded like it.
Yeah. Shadowlight was much cooler, right? You know, and so, yeah, it was really fun because I've never really been into like D&D and that kind of stuff. But Al grew up playing D&D, and then he played, what's it called? Powers Unlimited.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And he was like, "Hey, you know, let's get creative with these things. Let's do just some exercises. And I'll just kind of write up some characters and their powers, and then we'll like kind of role play it out and see how it goes, and we'll roll dice and all that." And so as we start, you know, just doing that, we just started to come up with more and more ideas and scenarios and that kind of stuff. And there were several characters that got cut out in the process, but it was just a lot of quality time building the story and building the characters. And then I was just the guy that was like, I mean, you've seen the old test cards.
Yeah.
I think I even have some like just sitting in my drawer because, you know, I this is all I used for so long. Like, you know, here's just an old test card just in my drawer. And this is Mean Streak blink of an eye. I can see this was my new idea for him.
Wow.
I was just writing down on it.
Oh, that's, you know, really cool.
Yeah. It says super speed trigger primary. Sacrifice a T-bone and Mean Streak and play a card from hand, which
yeah, yeah, yeah. Justin, yeah.
And then when this card defeats a clash card, add one streak. You get +1/+1. You get double strike. Ooh. Or all your clash cards get +2/+2 or +5/+5.
Whoa, wait, whoa.
So, and then I like scratched out, you can see like I scratched out the resource cost, like make it a 5. So yeah, this is just like, this is what I did like the whole pandemic. I would do that. I would play games against myself and just see mechanically, how does it feel?
Yeah.
And yeah, like Magnate, for example, was a heavy discarding deck. And I'm not kidding. He was so toxic. I ripped Magnate up, like just ripped up the whole concept and then rebuilt it because it, okay. I could tell this will ruin the game out the gate. He's wow. too good. He's too good. So,
see, yeah. So that actually answers my next question. That was going to be, so how did Magnate change from beginning to end? But that's okay. So he was going to be heavy on the discard, but broken.
Yeah, it was just too much. It was too much. So, yeah, the early concepts were, I would say, along the right track. But just by testing and then getting like Brady, who's Taskmaster, getting Raygon, you know, everyone that is on Discord, yeah. like, yep. having him hop in, like me, Garrett, Brady, Raygon, like we were the ones just hammering out games and getting feedback. And I remember there was one time Raygon beat me with a Haven promo. This card never came to light, but he beat me with a Haven promo deck combination that I didn't know existed in one turn.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. On an early concept. And what? So, yeah, he was great to add to the beginning because he's a Magic guy. Still was playing Magic. Him yeah. and I played Magic at middle school before school started in sixth grade once. I remember he played a swamp deck and I played an island. And I can't remember what we played. I think he played like zombies and I played, I don't even remember at this point.
Probably Merfolk.
I wasn't a good Merfolk guy. Me either. You know, we just did so many reps and just kind of scratched it all up, redid it. And, you know, over time, we got to that first set. And it was pretty exciting to finally see it get printed and get into people's hands.
Yeah, for sure.
So I actually have a question on this. This is something that was, I would say it was like a meme floating around when the game first came out. It was the IR for Magnate, and it came that it was Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So were any characters inspired by real people?
No. Now, yeah, not really. You know, Haven was thought up by Al. Haven and Clarity were thought up a little bit later. Really? And we always say that Halle Berry would be a great Clarity.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, in terms of the aesthetics and everything. Yes. But Haven was a character that was Al's imagination mixed with real life conversations that he had with his kids.
Okay.
And over time, just like the clever things they would say, he could see, oh, you know what? Like a character that could add this like comedic relief and kind of this like interesting balance to the story. You know, kind of be inserted into this world of chaos and be kind of a mysterious character too. And so Haven was a great addition and inspired by, yeah, I mean, very loosely by his kids, but it's more conversations, you know, of kids.
Yeah. Kids. So it's kind of like from his kids' imagination kind of, because if things that they've said to him, then it's coming from inside them, which is pretty cool.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, yeah, she's always felt authentic.
Yeah, he does a great job writing. And when she's in the book, it really, she acts like how a kid does.
Yeah.
It'll be a grown-up conversation and a kid just inserts something random, either completely random or really clever, right, into the conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
And 100%. To me, that's what Haven does well.
100%. So let's see here. So Drake, did you want to get the next question?
Yeah. What deck are you currently playing, if any?
I'm playing future decks. That's what I'm always. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't want to give any spoilers, but there's someone right now on my mind. Ooh, gonna be really fun. Yeah, set four, which we will start to spoil, I think, this summer a little bit.
Okay.
At least the name of it.
Nice.
Yeah, really excited for a new character to enter the Clash Ground. And yeah, there's some future ones. In terms of, you know, who I would be playing right now, I really just like Conquest. Like, he's just a fun...
Still sticking to Conquest.
You know, he may not be as good of a choice as others currently, but I don't know, man. It's just really fun to have this kind of, like, confrontational type of deck.
Restanding decks are fun.
Want to keep winning clashes.
I agree. I like playing, you know, obviously you knew in set one, I was very Moxie heavy. And it didn't matter how much people like Ryo would try to slam me down. I stuck with her, and she continues to be amazing. And with Suit Up coming up, she's going to just hurt people even more.
Yeah, that Moxie, she in the two-player Clash kit, I love to play Moxie. In that matchup, I really do. It's so fun because it's a good challenge. But if you can sequence it right and all that, it typically can surprise your opponent
with
heavy plays.
The handgun juggling.
Yeah.
Right. Plus, if you can like cheat out or get out and then, you know, cheat match a heavy power armor or move around a light power armor. You know, you can get in some fun little plays in that kind of basic matchup. But yeah, Moxie is someone that has been on my mind from the beginning of, you know, Alpha Hunters and how I want them to play and have support kind of layered in. And yeah, so hopefully people really enjoy some Alpha Hunter support with set three.
No, I'm gonna call for a Suit Up ban immediately. As soon as it comes. All right, Drake, you got the next question?
Yeah, of the characters, which one's your favorite?
My favorite character?
I guess of the ones you can talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always really been a Magnate fan because, and I don't want to ruin it for anyone that hasn't read the book, but because he was like the original, he was always like someone that just was really interesting to me. Kind of like this Superman meets like Gamma powered, and, you know, people say Homelander, which I didn't know who that was at first. So I had to like figure out who they were talking about.
Tell me, you know, now though, right?
I do know now. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I really enjoy him. Haven is hilarious, but if anyone can make me laugh out loud in the comic or in the book, it's Paul the Waiter.
Dang!
Paul!
When Al wrote the script for the comic, there was one part of it that I literally laughed out loud. So very, very, very good. And same in the book. The first time I read some of his first writings in the book when Paul is there. Just too good. So he really is a great character to it. Now, there's one person that I forgot, because as we were just thinking of or going through characters, was there anyone inspired by a real life character? Now, Sonoro is actually inspired by my real life friend, Luca, who's a professional breakdancer.
Okay.
Yep. And I worked with him at Cirque du Soleil for many years at the Beatles Love. And Sonoro means sound wave in Portuguese.
Oh.
And he's Brazilian, and he is Sonoro. Like, if you look at that and see his real life pictures, like, you know.
Oh, that's the
Sonoran region, like the Sonoran Desert.
Yeah, he's a Brazilian character.
Oh, that's awesome.
See that?
Yep.
See that's so. My next question is this: it's kind of a two parter. I know. Okay, we want to stay away from spoilers. But which character are you most excited for fans to see? And is there any future mechanics that you think fans will enjoy?
Mm. That's a tough one to answer.
Yeah, that's rough.
So what I will say is the Discarded coming in set three.
Yeah.
They were one of the first archetypes that I made in set one, and I moved them to set two and then realized it's too much to pack into set two, and we're going to focus Harbingers instead. So it was delayed to set three, which was hard because when we were running our trial games, I absolutely loved the play patterns of the Discarded.
Okay.
I couldn't wait to play it. And so delaying them was actually better because then we added in new mechanics like Ambush, which came a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And then we added Krung into the story, and Krung really took the helm of the Discarded. And I think people are going to really enjoy what they bring to the table. They're super fun. They're really dangerous. And, you know, I think that for characters and that that haven't released yet, that's something to keep your eye on.
That's cool. I will say this. It was definitely smart to release, like, Rizlak and Morak in set one and give everyone that little preview of what the Discarded are, because people, they were looking for them. You know, set two came out and was like, Where is everything? But obviously, you know, people that read the book will have a slight knowledge of it. But yeah, I'm excited to see them. Ambush looks like a very cool mechanic, so it'll be fun.
Yeah,
I think set three is gonna really set the game off, because now I feel like we have a good handful of contenders. Where there's just you're gonna be able to see so many different things in a tournament. You know, compared to set one. So,
yeah. And, you know, that's always the hard part from a development and a player standpoint, is to get the card pool bigger and bigger so that they have more options.
Yeah.
You know, in set one, we made traps and you could see what's coming. But by the time we hit set five, no one's going to have any clue what you're running. Unless there's like certain ones that are just staples and like, well, it's most likely this, but it's still that kind of unknown. And, you know, the Discarded kind of make this little fun trap mechanic as well, add some danger there. But, you know, I think that the card pool is going to be big enough and diverse enough with the launch of set three that it's going to really shake things up and open up different play styles, play patterns. Because when I made the game originally, I wanted it to be a deck builder's paradise, like just a sandbox. Mm. Like, what do you like? Find a way to build it. Makes it really hard to balance. But, you know, I always said, if I'm going to spend so much time on something, I want to enjoy it. So, you know, let's lean into that and kind of open things up. Find, you know, ways to make people want to build certain ways and find benefits for it. But, you know, open it up to them.
Yeah, I will say this. You guys have done pretty well at keeping the game balanced so far and not having to ban many cards. You know, there's been a couple erratas, but that's it. So it's been pretty good so far.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, I don't want to ban or errata anything. But you know every card game that has ever existed does it. And you don't know when, you know, the players, the more and more people play, the more new things that they find. Like, you know, we'll try to avoid as much as possible from a development and testing standpoint. And I think we've done a pretty good job so far. And we'll try to hang on as long as we can. But, you know, I'm sure that day will come and I won't be very happy about it.
Yeah, you know, I hope that the community is understanding, because like you said, it happens in every game and it's expected. It's no different. I've been playing games for, you know, 20 plus years now, and it's always been a thing. So it's not going to be something that changes now. And you got to do it because you want the game to be balanced and you want it to work. And like you said, there's only so much playtesting you can do. There's always going to be that one person that finds something by mistake and it becomes broken and everyone starts using it, and then you got to handle it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens a lot.
So, and this kind of leads into the next thing here. How does it feel to be 1 week away from the first Tier 2 event in Vegas.
Yeah, it feels pretty good. You know what's funny is we've been talking about this since, I think, November, because we announced it in December. No, sorry, we've probably been talking about it since September, but we announced it, I believe, with the launch of Clash Grounds. Yep. Yes. We announced that it was coming, and that was still 5 months out. And so just the logistics and, you know, trying to promote it and all that, like, it's been a marathon in a way, and it's really exciting that it's finally here because, you know, I feel like we've got some really good momentum, a lot of really great players across many games that are going to be there. And, you know, we're going to see the first high level competitive event and see what people are playing. You know, we've seen locals and we've seen that for a long time. Yeah. Now let's get everyone in the same room and duke it out and see who's the first Clash Ground champion. Yeah. So with the prizing, like, I can't wait to, you know, hand off like just the prizing, do the pre-release event. Cause that's going to be, I was going to show it off tonight, but I haven't gotten the set 3 stuff yet.
Okay.
And Josh already have their set 3 stuff.
I saw the picture of the car with the seatbelt.
And I don't have it yet, but I wanted to, you know, show it off. But I've seen box openings and the cards, and man, I can't wait. It's so cool.
I can't wait either.
I'm so excited for next week. Like we were saying before you got on, like, I have my part of my suitcase packed. My wife, she's trying to figure out what hair curler she wants to bring. I don't. That's all I know. But I'm so excited, and I said it's. I just really want, it's ego talking, but I want to be the first. Like I want to, even though I think the Philippines technically they'll clown their champion before us because time differences, but still I want to be the first. Like, can you imagine that? First event, okay. I'm the first champion. No one can ever take that from you. You're the first champion.
And you're not the only one gunning for that.
Oh, I'm gunning for it.
You know, it's kind of like being, you know, like one of the first people to get Content Creator of the Month. Like, you know, it's something that whoever comes afterward, you know, they can get second, but they can't get first.
There it is. Yeah, there it is.
And, you know, it's quite the concept. You know, the Clash Ground is happening in Manila and Vegas almost simultaneously. And it's really cool to think about that. People literally halfway around the world are, you know, playing competitively. They love the game, and, you know, just to see the game growing in these places in America, because, like, that's what we expect. But then places that we can't physically be at in Asia and Europe and Australia, it's just really fun to see that people everywhere are speaking the same language, and that's Alpha Clash.
Yeah. That is awesome. And, you know, and shout out, by the way, to the Philippines. Shout out to the Philippines, because those guys and gals over there, they're definitely huge Alpha Clash fans. Even some of the fan stuff that I've seen come out of there, it's super impressive. So shout out to them.
Yeah, Toy Shogun is killing it, and they're building up communities at tons of stores across the Philippines and stretching into new countries that are nearby as well. And yeah, it's just really fun to see.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say this before we finish off here. Did you want to talk about the current Kickstarter that's going on for the comic book? I completely forgot to put in a question about that. But, you know, you just finished getting out all the stuff from the novel Kickstarter. We all got our stuff. We've been enjoying it. And, you know, Torque comic, you know, is out there right now. We've all invested in it for sure. Yes. But
what I can say is the comic book is really good. It's just really good. I've read the script several times, been a part of the editorial process. The artwork is truly top tier. I think it's some of Kyle's best work. I know that's a biased statement, but I really do like every time he sends, you know, the sketches, the inks, the colors, like they always look so top notch. You know, the covers are all done by incredible artists. You know, it's a 44-page comic book, so it's not as thick as a graphic novel, but it's not a short comic either. And I think you're going to be surprised with what happens, with what the story is and where it goes, because this tells the story of what happens immediately after the book. So,
which we all want to know what happens.
Everyone wants to know. It's going to be a minute before book two comes out, because that will shed light on a lot of other things. And the comics will support the things that we don't necessarily have time to tell in the books, and we can fill in the gaps with it. And so if you are listening and you haven't backed the campaign, I would highly encourage you to, because it's a high quality product. Even if you want just the comic book, you can get in it at $12. That gets you the base level tier. You can get three comic books for $30, and then it kind of scales up from there based on what you're looking for. You know, we threw in some really great play mats. You know, there's some really fun promo cards. Nice. There's sleeves. You know, there's people. There's stuff for people that want TCG stuff. But if you're a comic fan, there's plenty in there to grab. All about the comic. So
Now it's a graded. I know when the Tretchko they were at it was the graded comic. Is that still available? I know I got mine, but I don't know if that is that still available for people.
That one sold out last I saw. And I think the sketch card did too.
Yeah, I know the sketch card they sold out today.
Yeah, but you know, there's tons of other great things. I mean, there's pledges that have the coffee table book, so it'll have the full script in it. So you'll see how we actually write scripts. And there's you know, progress work. There's concept art, sketches, inks, you know, finished pages, and then you'll get the full comic inside. So something that can literally just sit on a coffee table, and you have a friend over, you're just kind of sitting around like, oh, you know, and you can flip through, and it's an easy read, and it's you know, cool to look at and see, you know, this is how it gets developed.
That's like awesome. DVD extras.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I got the tier 5 myself, and I had to get some of the extra stuff. I like, by the way, thank you for making the sleeves 100. We appreciate it. It's greatly appreciated.
Yeah. I know that was some community feedback, and we thought, oh, that's an easy thing to fix. No. And so we did that.
Yeah.
Right away.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, then we will end this up because we are coming up to, you know, time. We know you're a busy man, but where do you see Alpha Clash at the end of 2024? You know, after this first big event, a third and fourth set, like things are only looking up, honestly, especially after this whole TCG partnership going on. Like it's everything looks like it's going
you
up.
You can't forget the board game.
Yeah. Oh, also the board game. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, from my lens, I think we have a great opportunity this year to show how good the game can be with the launch of set 3 and set 4, and to show the TCG community at large that we're going to be around for a long time. And we've got a great game that looks great, top tier artists. And, you know, with set 3 and set 4 releasing, they truly are just great sets. I can't wait to get them into people's hands. The comic book will get into people's hands, and I think people that didn't back it will go, oh, you know what? I should probably get this, because it really does. I think when you get it in your hands, people, you know, definitely want it. And then with the board game, that is a vision that's coming to fruition, because we always wanted to be more than a TCG. Even more than Alpha Clash over time. Alpha Clash is our main franchise that we're focusing on, but the goal has been to grow into a studio that can go into these different genres, different stories. You know, how are we going to tell them? Well, there's different ways. It could be books, could be video games one day. Ooh. It could be this. You know, Alpha Clash is the, you know, thing that we're focused on right now as a whole. And the board game aesthetically looks incredible. Gameplay wise, it really is top notch. And I think it's going to surprise people because we're going to be at Gen Con in full force, showcasing the game, having it on hand, and getting people excited about it. So from the launch of set three and the Clash Grounds that'll happen in the spring, the summer, the fall, into the board game, into set four. And then we're thinking about a cool niche product at the end of the year, that we aren't ready to share yet, but something like that. We have so much awesome content coming that I feel like we're in a really great position for 2025 to be a strong year for Alpha Clash as a whole.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I know, right?
That just makes me excited because, again, I always tell everybody the story, just me walking around Origins, and what drew me was just the energy that you guys' booth had. And it was like nothing I ever experienced in sitting down playing the game for the first time. And I was like, I was having fun. Like I said, I think I went back to you guys' booth almost 15 times. Just sit down and play.
Yeah, whoever lost him, I knew where to look.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I do remember he was always set up on the end.
Right there.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, he was always set up. Yeah, I remember meeting you there, and you know, we had him and I play. Him and I had a great game, and I thought, okay, you know, I'm just going to kind of show him. And you know how card players, just the way that they kind of like fiddle with their hand, and like, I was like, oh boy, this guy's a legit player. I can just see it. You know, he's doing his thing, and you know, I would kind of like try to bait out some plays just to see if he's thinking, you know, 10 steps ahead. And he would kind of catch on, and I was like, oh, okay. So he didn't fall for that one. Okay, you know, maybe we'll do this one and see if he kind of catches what's going on. And yeah, he smacked me around that first game.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had a great time at Origins, and we're going to be back at Origins this year.
Oh, nice. Oh.
Oh, you, that's good to know. That's good
to know. We got a nice booth. So here's where we're at. We are at... Right, exactly. And set three will be live. We will have set three on hand for Origins. Last year was odd timing. It was a month before the first set released. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people couldn't walk away with product. But this year, set three will be out. The board game, we will actually have information on the board game. My hope is that in the very near future, we'll be putting out a preview and an article all about the board game. And people will start to see what's going on with that. I can tell you it is a prequel story to modern day Alpha Clash.
Okay.
With all new characters.
Ooh. Awesome.
Top tier artists. We handpicked the artists that just look really, they have a very similar aesthetic. And under Wade King's art direction, he's really molded it to, you know, more than what I expected from it. And so, yeah, just, you know, see like Clarity and War, like these are two of my favorite pieces from Clash Grounds, and for almost every piece to be like those, it's like a masterpiece.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of pieces, the Lin IR that was just spoiled, incredible.
That iconic when Kaio sent that, I mean, our floor, the team's jaws about hit the floor because my first reaction was, that's the greatest piece to date.
That's what we said. Yeah. That's what we said.
And I know art is subjective, but that was my first reaction. I was like, oh my gosh, that's the greatest thing that we've, you know, done so far.
Yeah, I need a full set of that. A full set.
Yeah. And so I'm glad that everyone is enjoying the Lin iconic, because the iconic since set three and even into, because all the artwork is done for set four as well. Like it's already done. And spoiler, it's Kaio. And Kaio does such a good job. I can't not use Kaio again.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, because I'll say all the art that he has done has been great. But this is the best art
I've seen. When I've seen this,
out of everything.
I'm like, this is, it's different. Like I said, it's different than any IR that's came out. And it's 100% where Like most of my decks, like, okay, cool, I want to get max rarity, just have max rarity to, for a flex. This one might know this is the art I want. This, I want this in my deck. I actively want this. I will actively go buy, trade, open up products to get this card.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. She's it's such a good art. And we will probably be sharing more because we know that the pre-release event is coming up. And so, you know, everyone that's there will see most of the card pool, right? Because if you have, I don't know how many we'll have, but let's just say you had 100 people and they all open up a pre-release kit, there's a high likelihood that every card gets pulled.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, or almost every card, right? So they'll get to see that kind of stuff. And so we timed it with spoiler season and everything to kind of, you know, wrap up at a good time to where everyone has probably seen most of the card pool.
Nice.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so someone did ask, since you guys are going to be at Origin, is there going to be a tournament at Origins?
So we're talking about that right now. If the stars can align, we'll do a Clash Ground at Origins.
Sweet.
Yep. Sweet. So that would be my goal. So we'll be at, I forgot. I kind of lost my train of thought earlier, but we'll be at Level Up. We'll be at Phoenix Fan Fusion in May. We'll be at Origins in June. We'll be at Gen Con in August. And we'll be at PAX Unplugged in December.
Oh, wow. That's a good lineup. That's a good lineup.
That's busy. That's back to back. But yeah, yep. that I feel like that would be awesome. Because again, we got Vegas next week, which is so amazing to finally say that Vegas is next week. And then we have Origins in June. Then right after that, we have the board game making its debut at Gen Con, which everyone knows Gen Con is huge. Like, these next couple months about to be amazing. If you're an Alpha Clash fan, you're going to be eating for months. This is great. I'm excited.
I'm excited. And I will see you at Origins. I will be at Origins.
So, my man.
Yeah.
My man.
Oh. But, yeah, I'll also be sending Ryo as my representative to Vegas. So, if Ryo, you know, comes up to you by chance and asks you for, like, a signature on a card or something, it is for me.
You got it. Easy.
Yeah.
I'll be at the booth. I'll be hitting the floor. I'll be watching the tournament. It's going to be a great event.
Is the tournament going to be streamed anywhere? Are we going to be able to watch it?
So I'm not 100% sure. I know that Realm was working on that, and I haven't talked to them to see if that got finalized. But we've been talking about it for a bit.
Okay.
So
as soon as I find out one way or the other, I'll let the community know.
Okay. That's awesome. But we do not have any further questions. And like I said, I know that you have to go, but do you have any closing that you would like to give out? Any information?
There's a lot to say. Make sure you go back to the comic campaign before it closes. Make sure you get your hands on set 3. Make sure you are keeping your eyes peeled for board game information so that you can follow the campaign that we're going to do and get ready for just this hurricane of awesome content coming.
Yeah.
Is board game going to be a Kickstarter?
The board game is going to be on a crowdfunding platform that we'll be announcing soon.
Nice. Okay.
See, I like that. Ridge, we do appreciate you for coming on. So again, we know that you're busy, especially say again a week from Vegas. But I'm so glad you was able to get in here with us. We started this podcast. I want to say how long we've been doing this, guys? Since February?
Since February.
No, it's been longer than that because I was part of this podcast when we did the December opening of the Clash Ground stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been doing this for a while, and so it's finally great to get you on here. I want to say you're the most anticipated special guest we've had. So that is always great. And again, we support you guys. We support the game full fledged, and I'm so excited for everything that's coming. I'm gonna throw a plug in Routes and CCG. You can pick up your Unrivaled. Pre-orders actually close tomorrow. Like they open the deck up for another week, but they will shut down tomorrow. That way everything gets locked in and product comes out May 31st. Right?
Nice. Awesome.
Okay, because I don't know why it's been saying like June 1st, but it's May 1st. May 31st. Jesus Christ.
May 31st. Awesome.
Well, thank you all for having me. Big fan of the show. I love the passion that you guys bring to the community. I love the energy. I love the perspective and the support. Everyone that's listening, just know that the Rising Empire Studios team and everyone at Alpha Clash really does appreciate you. And, you know, we're going to keep bringing you awesome content for years to come.
Heck yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Ridge.
Thank you, Ridge.
Take care.
See ya.
Have a good night.